Oh, this is Billy Brim, and I'm just so thrilled once again to hear all of the places that you've come from. And lady from the Bronx, that's a different state. It's not all by itself, isn't it? I surely want to say thank you for all of you early risers in California and Washington and Oregon. It's just amazing to me how you do this. We have Canada, at least three, I heard, and Europe and Israel. So welcome to everybody. And right here at the front, I want to tell you that I'm going to be going to Israel. I leave on the 23rd, and I'm going over to take part. We have a tour going, but I'm going over to invited to be a founder in a prayer group that the Knesset is organizing, a Christian and Jewish prayer group. And they have asked us if we would organize prayer breakfasts in the United States to be praying for Jerusalem near the time, you know, when they got Jerusalem back. We're on the 50-year anniversary. So June 7th is a day, a Wednesday. I'm going to try my best to call you. I'll be in Israel actually taking part in that prayer that very day. But if I can work the times, I'll do your 8-hour, 8:30 call. Now, what I would like to do, because they want to put pegs on a map, I would like to have every one of you that think you could be praying with us on June 7th to let us know so that I can tell them and we can put a peg on the map for your state. In fact, even if you would tell me your city and state. So if you will just call in our call number, that is 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447, and give your name and your town and your state and mention June 7th call prayer for Jerusalem. June 7th prayer for Jerusalem. And that will let me know that you're on the call on that June 7th prayer. And then I could tell the people at this Knesset that we have this many people praying, and they will be praying from these places. So that'd be great if you do that for me. I'm just absolutely have so much to share this morning, and then I want to so much to pray. But I've really been impacted this week. Something I want to see if I can share with you quickly before we get to pray. I have always, you know, I've known the privilege of prayer. I know that. And I take advantage of that and wouldn't want to live a day without that. But the Lord has made me to know, more than I ever knew, the absolute necessity of prayer, even the necessity of prayer from God's point of view. And some of you know, if you don't know, a former Muslim, Max, I call him Max, he came to Jesus because he heard an audible voice call him, and then he came to me because he was having dreams, and his dreams were always about the Middle East and something about governmental things. He knew he had to have them judged, someone told him, so he drove down to meet me and asked me if I would judge them, and so I did. And Jesus started appearing to him and telling him that Donald Trump was going to be the president, but that the church had to pray, and that even after he became president, we would have to pray as never before. So I knew this about him and the emphasis that the Lord put on prayer. And then I was watching Pat Robertson one day, and he had a man on who works with the Muslims. His name is Tom Doyle, been a missionary for many years in the Middle East and Central Asia. And he mentioned that Muslims were coming to the Lord and having repeated dreams and visions. And he had a book, which I ordered, named Dreams and Visions by Tom Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World? So I got the book, and I started reading it this week. And through it, the Lord has impacted me of the absolute necessity of prayer from his point of view. And one of the accounts that he tells is by a Jordanian man that he calls Amir in the book. And the Jordanian man was a Christian, but he was nominal, only nominal. And his family had been Christians before him. He had loved Jesus as a little boy, but he had grown up to be a flippant businessman, and he often went into Saudi Arabia to do business. He was in the tourist business. And when he went into Saudi Arabia, happened to go at the time of the Hajj, you know, all Muslims are supposed to make a visit to Mecca during the Hajj, and he happened to be there during that time, and kind of rude the fact that he had made his trip there during such a time when there was such a crowd. And when he came in, there was such a crowd at the when they stamped his passport, and they stamped it Muslim. And he thought, uh-oh, this is going to take some trouble, an act of the parliament, to get this stamp removed. Because according to the Muslims, once a Muslim, always a Muslim. So he really, you know, he thought, well, how will I get taken that taken off? And so he went to his went to bed that night in Saudi Arabia, and he awoke, and he heard a voice in the dark. And the voice said to him, pray for them. And then it came again, really strong and authoritatively, pray for them. He sat upright, but he said, and I'm reading now, a magnificent calm engulfed him. Pray for them. And with that, his room exploded in light. A majestic man-like being stepped from nowhere into the room. The angel stood serenely at the foot of the bed, his sense of purpose obvious, and said to Amir, you have a mission, Amir. Go and pray for them in Mecca. Be faithful, Amir. Just a few nights after that, maybe the next night or so, he heard a voice again. Follow me, Amir. But this time, it wasn't an angel. It was Jesus. He said, come to me and receive the gift. And so Amir, who's had time to think about that angel voice, fell to his knees and said, Lord Jesus, I've been so far from you. I've even hated you. Forgive my sin-infested life and forgive me. So then after that, he went and bought. He'd been wearing a business suit, but he went and bought. He extended his tour 5 more days, and he bought the white robe that the Muslims wear and got on a bus to go to Mecca. And there, it was a 4-hour drive, but he was very peaceful. And as he went in, he saw this on the bus. They flashed a light that said, non-Muslims who enter this city will be killed. Now, he and his friend had been just recently making fun of the Muslims. He thought they were so ignorant and crazy, and he hated them. But now he's going toward the Hajj, and he's in this caught up in this crowd with the instructions, pray for them. And I'm reading now from the book, I don't hate them anymore. Instead, the deep love he now felt for Jesus spilled into his attitude. To make a very long account short, as he was moving in that crush of people, he was praying all the time for them. And he even went to the day when they stoned the devil, and he said that he prayed for the pilgrims and against their unearthly oppressors. Amir could not remember where he had heard the term, but he identified the conflict as spiritual warfare. When he had been exhausting himself for the 5 days, walking among the crowds, praying. And on the 5th day, as he was going, he heard some people talking. And one of them said, this is my 3rd dream about Jesus since I've been here. What does it mean? And so he went about praying the rest of the day. And he bumped into a man, and the man said, I'm your friend. My name is Muhammad. Later, some people got onto Amir, and he felt like they were chasing him. He got himself off a bus, and this same Muhammad drove up and said, do you need a ride? And gave him a smile. And Muhammad said to him, brother, you're not alone here. When I came to Mecca on the Hajj a few years ago, Jesus appeared to me. He let the statement sink in with Amir. I began to seek him, and now I'm a follower. I never thought I would come back to Mecca, but he has called me, and there are others. Many were led here just like you, Muhammad stated into Amir's eyes. Pray for them is all he told us. when I read this, I thought Jesus appearing to these people with only the instruction, pray for them. So that meant that from God's side, those people had to be prayed for before he could do anything for them. And somehow it just made the necessity of prayer so real to me. And I thought about Gary Wood's book, A Place Called Heaven. When he caught up there, the Lord sent him back. He said, there's going to be three things happen before I come. There will be a spirit of restoration, brothers restoring with each other, a spirit of prayer, and there will be an outburst of miracles. And Gary saw how prayer worked. He saw in the mid-heavens the demons and the powers of the air, the Bible calls them, the authorities of the air. But he saw that when people on earth prayed, it went through like barbed arrows. It went through that place. So what I'm saying to you is I am impacted that God needs us to pray. God needs it. Like John Wesley said, it seems that God can do nothing for men unless someone asks him. And God wants to do something for men. This book is filled, Dreams and Visions, with how he's appearing now in rapid fire order to Muslims. And he gives them oftentimes a series of dreams. But it must be that for him to do that, someone has to ask him. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bellheimer. He's a man that lived like to be 96 years old, a Baptist man, and he was a man of prayer. And he believed that what is the difference between some people getting saved and some people not getting saved? He believed that it was the people that were prayed for. And so he would park his car downtown on Saturday nights then. That's when everybody went to town in small towns. And he would park it and pray for everyone who passed by. So we know that when we do our first of all praying for those who are in authority, when according to Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, we give him no silence until he has made Jerusalem a praise in the earth, we know that it's necessary for him to have. I want to give you those again, 1 Timothy 2:1. That's where he says that I exhort that first of all, prayers, intercession, supplication, thanksgiving be made for those who are in authority. Our president is going to Israel. They announced today what his schedule would be. Of course, it could change, but right now it's scheduled for May 23rd, 22nd, and 23rd. He has on his schedule that he's going to the Western Wall. He will go to Masada. Evidently, they're going to helicopter him in, probably, because it's a big climb. And he's going to give an address from Masada. He's going to have dinner with the prime minister and dinner with the president, hopes to be at Yad Vashem. But he's also going to meet with Mahmoud Abbas in Bethlehem. And on the same trip, he's going to Saudi Arabia and the Vatican. They say that the purpose of the trip is to organize the people against terrorism. Now, there is a lead item in the Jerusalem Post today that the Israeli press is reporting that the president has decided not to move the embassy. But Netanyahu has denied the reports. So we want to pray about our president's trip. Let's do that now. Holy Heavenly Father, we believe, because it is written, that the number one thing required of nations is that they bless Israel. We're asking you in the name above every name, the lovely and matchless name of Jesus, we're asking you to open the heart of our president absolutely full stop for a knowledge given to him, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and the knowledge that we have to bless Israel. I know he stands with Israel, but Father,
Give him a deeper revelation of the importance of it, we pray. And, oh, Holy Father, we would pray, whether he announces it this trip or not, since he's going to Saudi Arabia and other places. I don't know. But we, dear Father, do ask you that he announce and that we move our embassy to the recognized capital of Jerusalem. We give you no silence till you make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And Father, we are giving you no silence that we want that embassy moved. Lord, we pray for his protection on the trip. We pray the blood, the precious blood to cover the airplane, the vehicles, all of them, bumper to bumper, side to side, nose to tail, top to bottom, every part working and non-working, no one or no thing will hinder him in any way. We pray for his steps until that day that he goes. Holy Father, dearest one, in the precious name above all names, we pray for those who are in authority, our State Department, Rex Tillerson, our president, as they meet the challenges of Afghanistan. They have made a decision to send some into Afghanistan, more troops. Holy Father, I don't know if this is good or bad. You do. But I do pray that you will give them wisdom as to what to do. And we pray for those troops who are going in there, that they would be covered with the blood, the precious blood. And Father, is it too big to ask you that not even a one of them would be killed? I don't think so. I think it's with Torah Masita, totally within your doing. And in the name above all names, we plead the blood over them and ask for this phenomenal thing that everyone will recognize that God did it, that their lives are spared. North Korea, Father, we lift up those, the generals, the president, the State Department. We lift up everybody for wisdom as to what to do about North Korea. We know that you know what to do, but somehow, Father, we've got to pray about it. Somehow, Father, you need us to pray about it. So in the name above all names, we are coming according to 1 Timothy 2, 1, where it is written that first of all we're to pray for those in authority. So evidently, you could do something if we obey that. And here we are, Father. We're from at least 41 states today. And Europe has joined, and Israel has joined, and Canada has joined. And this business of North Korea, Father, it affects all of us. And so we ask you, Holy One, for the best in a situation, the best that could happen, with lives not being lost, but it to be handled in the name above every name. We ask you this. Father, we do pray. I pray, dear one, you know that we prayed last Sunday in our prayer meeting. We had a long prayer, an effective prayer about our Migdal project in Israel. And Lord, from the beginning you told me has to be a place of prayer. You have to keep prayers there. So we're building a prayer tower because you told us to. And we have in our plans a place for at least five prayers to stay. We're having students come, of course, but these are going to be praying people. Father, we ask you to help us. Please accept the Lord, build the house. They labor in vain that build it, it is written. So we ask you to help us build a house and to open that way for all the permits, all the monies, all the plans to get the prayers there. And Lord, prepare those people. I know you are. I know you're preparing them. That you call to come and to pray. Father, we have this prayer call because Julie Cerrone, and she, of course, and Ethan work with us. Julie felt that why do we have to wait till we get there to pray? So this prayer call right here is a part of that Migdal Arbel Prayer and Study Center vision. I sense such an anointing, Lord, when we're on this prayer call. And I thank you for it. I know that we don't anoint ourselves. I know that you do it. And I believe that you have anointed every single person as we pray today. We worship you and adore you and love you. And we want to serve you. We too have missions. I pray, Father, for those Muslims that you're giving dreams and visions. Dearest Lord, give them more. Dear Father, and protect them. We pray for the protection after they come to you. There are even martyrs among them. But we're asking you, I don't know how many of us there are today, 700 or so maybe. But we're asking you. I know we're from 41 states, from Europe, from Israel, from Canada. Sydney, I think I heard. Holy One, we ask you to make yourself known to those who don't know you. Right now, if you're out there and you know someone that doesn't know the Lord, pick a name and ask him to make himself known to that person. I know we pray that he sent a laborer across the path, but I'm asking in this prayer, and I feel anointed to do it, that Jesus would somehow make his reality known to the person whose name you lift up. You hear those names, Father? Now you have the right in Jesus' name to make yourself known to them. You're not willing, it is written, that any should perish, but that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of God. It is written. It is written in that very scripture where you told us to pray. For those who are in authority, it is written that the purpose is that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life and men come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it is written also that in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Holy Father, we know then that we have the petitions that we've asked of you today. Oh, what a privilege it is to pray. And Father, all isson da lavratoria de recobrate, everything you teach us about prayer, we're so glad to know. I'm so glad and thankful that I got to see a little bit more, a little bit deeper, the necessity of prayer. Father, we thank you. I thank you for every person on this call. And I lift up those persons unto you. Let me be an establishing partner with them in their prayer, in their needs. Lord, as they pray today for what they need according to your word, and if it is according to your word, I don't know how to do this exactly, Lord, but somehow I want to be standing in agreement with them. If it's according to your word, and it will bless them, and it will make them a blessing, I want you to let me stand in agreement with them, Father. Oh, Father, we worship you and praise you. I pray for our noon prayer today. I pray for you getting me there. I don't know if my road down here is still flooded, but you've provided the back way through Farmer Wilson's. And I ask you to watch over me and unlock the gates, the key works, and get me to that noon prayer. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we ask you for all those who will join us online to be blessed. It's wonderful, Father. Even I remember that Wednesday nights when I was a little girl, that was prayer meeting night. And even the schools didn't schedule ball games or anything else, because it was prayer meeting night, and we honored prayer. Father, we who are on this call today, we honor you and thank you for the privilege of prayer, and thank you for showing us and using us in that marvelous doing business with God that prayer is. We love you, Lord. We adore you, and I love every single one of you who join us. You WWPs, thank you so much. You who are so dedicated to pray, and even some of you who are just brand new, maybe, and just into this prayer. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place it is that God has given us. And so I'm going to say shalom, shalom, and I'm going to believe God that the rest of your day will know his presence. In Jesus' name, shalom, shalom.